When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kewer.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And this is Thank Fuck For That, a podcast in which we hear stories from our guests about the moments in their lives that might have changed everything.
Whether they are huge near misses or small, seemingly insignificant choices, we all have stories that we look back on and wonder, what if?
Our guests will bring us their best Thank Fuck For That moment so we can delight in how different their lives could have been.
Hello!
Hello!
Hello, Sarah!
Hello, Mickey! How are you?
Good. Should we start by... We're in a different space.
We're in a different studio, if it sounds different to the discerning ear.
Ooh.
It's made out of wood.
It's made out of wood.
Yeah.
It's got some fake foliage.
Fake foliage. Literally what I was going to say as well.
Yeah, FF.
Fake foliage on the walls.
Fake foliage on the walls. It's lovely.
Yeah. It's very nice. It smells like a shed.
It does smell like a shed.
Because it is
a
shed.
It looks like a shed.
Yeah, it's a shed.
Yeah,
it smells
yeah.
like a shed. It
oh,
looks like a shed. It's a dog.
Yeah. So that was all happening. Change
is good. It's refreshing.
Yeah. Yes. We don't have Lucas with us today, but we've got Francisco.
Francisco is here. Hello, Francisco. Lucas is on holiday.
He's on holiday. What the hell?
Is really rude.
So rude.
Do you not see us taking a holiday?
I'm not taking a holiday. I mean, I'm going to the Netherlands, but that doesn't count.
No, that's family obligation.
Well, also I'm doing gigs there.
So you're working.
So I'm working, but then I'm tagging on 3 days to Ooh. Be able to see friends and family.
Nice.
As okay. I'm going anyway. Yeah. But I don't think that
None
counts as a holiday.
None of that no. is a holiday.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to see my family next week.
A little holiday?
Is it a holiday? Yeah, I think so.
I guess this is like, this is sort of the in between our birthdays.
Yeah, how was your birthday?
We're celebrating. Oh, so mine was yesterday and yours mm-hmm. is next week.
Uh-huh.
How was my birthday? Great.
Good.
I'm not a big birthday person.
No, you're not. Birthdays are hard. There's a lot of expectation on a
there's
birthday.
A lot. I find it very stressful. Mm. I was trying to look back on this. I think when I was, even when I was like a child, before I found it difficult, when I was a teenager, because I found it difficult mm-hmm. like with like having not really any friends to invite. But like even when I was younger, before that, I found it so stressful that everything was about me.
Yeah.
And it just felt a bit like intense. But I'm from a really big birthday family.
The expectation to enjoy it is really stressful.
Yeah. My sisters and my mother are big birthday people mm-hmm. and they love it. So it was always like, you love it, Mickey. You absolutely love this.
You are loving this.
You are loving this. Yeah. And I really didn't. Mm-hmm. It just felt weird.
So I think I'm really lucky in that I kind of have... I've had loads of birthdays that are about me. But my cousin, who's one of my close friends...
Jacques.
Used to live with him, Jack. Is born the day before me.
Yes, right. That's true.
So, and we used to live next door to each other mm-hmm. growing up. So we kind of just had this like 2-day Keyworth extravaganza.
I would have loved that.
It was so good because, like, I would do all of the birthday things on Jack's birthday.
Yeah.
And then at the end of Jack's birthday, be like, and it's my birthday tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we go again and there's more cake and we're all doing. And it just, I guess it
Boxing
never.
Boxing Day for Sarah.
Yeah. It never felt like it was like this really intense.
No,
thing
I would
just
have
for
loved
me.
That shared spotlight.
When we were teenagers, we used to have joint parties.
Yeah, that would have been perfect for me, I think. Yeah. Whereas my sisters would have hated that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, to have to share their day?
It's too much.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so it always is. But Patrick got it immediately. Like, when we started going out and I was, like, a bit weird about my birthday, he got it. He was like, okay.
Does he like his birthday? Is he a big birthday guy?
He's not, but his birthday is during Edinburgh.
Oh, okay.
So he always finds it just fun because there's just friends around anyway.
Yeah, you don't have to contend with anything else in anyone's life.
No, and it's not like, so we usually do something or we go eat somewhere or whatever, but everyone's already there.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have
And they're to, glad for the plan.
Yeah, and so you don't have to deal with like, will you all please come to, you know.
Take time out of your busy schedule.
This is what you're dealing with because yours is next week. And you already said to me, like, I find it stressful inviting people.
Yeah, and it's my 30th. And I have invited people to the pub and like I was like, I'm just going to keep it really simple for myself. Mm-hmm. I'll hire a space because I'm going to invite just like everyone I want to invite.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to like make it a big party. I'm not going to get like a private room or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
Just a part of a pub.
Yes.
And still within that, I'm like, maybe I should have done more. Maybe I should provide food. Maybe I should get drinks.
Yes.
Maybe I should have got a private function. What about music? What am I going to do? Like, it's all this just adding up in my head. And I've got to a point where I'm like, I can't actually care about this anymore.
No, and nor should you.
No.
And it will be fine. And like, everyone's very self-sufficient.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to deal with a section of a pub. Like,
Yeah. That'll be fine.
We're able to deal with that as people.
You're not going to kick off?
I might kick off.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's
sorry.
Like, it's a funny
This
thing,
isn't a function
it?
Room.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I've got to be. excuse me, what music is this?
Can you tell me the name of that person there? what's the worst birthday you've ever had?
Yeah, so it's not funny, it's just sad.
Oh, no, okay. I'll tell you mine.
It's just, I'll tell you, it's whatever. But it's like, I was 14 and my mum was like, what do you want to do for your birthday party? And I had no friends. So I was, and it was just like, it was a couple of years in my, I had friends around those years, but just that particular couple of years, I just really struggled in school and like ate lunch by myself. So I was hiding it from my parents because they were having a very tough time. Like my dad was having a tough time at work. And my sister was really difficult, hormonal and very difficult. So I was just kind of like hiding it. So I was like,
pile on.
So then I just remember this having this thing of like being with my mom and her like, and I was like, I don't think I want to have a party. And then my mom was like, why not? Like, who do you want to invite? And I just didn't want to say, I don't have anyone to invite because then she would have to deal with that. So I was like, oh, I don't want to worry her. So I was just like, nah, I just don't. It's just not for me. Like, I don't know what it was, just a very poor acting job.
Yeah. I'm going to throw you a 14th birthday party.
Yeah.
One day we're going to do it. We're going to do everything that 14-year-olds would do.
Like,
drink slushies, have a pillow fight. We're going to eat all the chocolate we can eat.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the boys we fancy because that's what I was doing at 14.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. This is going to be great. No boys allowed. No boys allowed. We're doing it in a treehouse.
I would love to hear you talk about the boys you fancy.
Absolutely.
Just some... A great acting job. That
give me
be.
Time to prep.
Yeah.
I gotta Google who are boys.
But I wanted to be very clear that like it's no longer sad now.
Yeah.
Because I have Patrick and he does the best job at making me feel great. And he just like yesterday, we saw... My favorite thing is just spending time with him. So, and we don't get to do that a lot. So it was great. So we both had like set the day for nothing. So no work and stuff, no gigs. And so we woke up late and then we made pancakes.
Nice.
And then we just watched all day things that I like that he would normally not. Mm-hmm. So I was telling you before, I made him watch Gilmore Girls because like that's a very seminal show for me.
Yeah.
That he would never watch because he thinks it's shit.
But you had him in
but
a chokehold.
But he had to. But he had to whilst we ate. Oh, and you know what I did, which was really nice? We do this in the Netherlands a lot, but I don't know if it's like a big thing here. For dinner, we made chicken and veg, but then we get like chips from the chippy. Ooh. I don't know if people do that here, but in the Netherlands we do this a lot, where like you just get, you buy the chips.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You don't buy like the rest. The rest you make at home.
But you have this additional,
but then you just
supreme
buy
supreme chip.
Yeah, the supreme chip, because you can never make those chips at home. Like, you're never gonna get as good as like a professional deep fryer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that sounds good.
It was really good. Patrick was like, the whole time, I mean, he may not have been loving the Gilmore Girls, but like the whole time he was like, this is the best thing I've ever eaten.
These so good. Chips are so good. We were in bed last night.
Yeah.
It was like, yes. like go on. It was like 11:45. So it was quite late and I was like falling asleep. And then Louisa goes, Sarah. And I was like, what? She goes, imagine it's your birthday and you have to eat breakfast. And I was like, okay. She was like, what are you eating?
Oh my God. And I was like, I wonder what that was about.
I know, it's so subtle. And I was like,
what would you eat?
Why do I have to eat breakfast?
Yeah, you have to.
I was like, gun to my head, breakfast? Because it's like, that's quite stressful. Maybe just something small, because like, I'm probably anxious. And she's like, just fucking tell me.
Yeah. What did she say?
I said that I want like nice bread. So there's like, we usually thicker bread than
usual. Oh, thicker
usual.
Bread. So, yeah, you're like holding up your hands. I was not sure.
Like, Louisa's gluten-free, so some kind of gluten-free sourdough alternative type thing.
Yeah.
And have you ever had these like Greek beans, gigantic beans? They're like thick, big, fat, thick beans. They're like baked beans, but they're in like a really nice tomato-y sauce, but they're like fat.
They're really big.
Yeah.
They're not small like Heinz.
They're not small like Heinz. They're called gigantus, yeah, yeah. And they're big.
I've never had these.
Big beans, and the sauce is superior to any other bean sauce.
Ooh.
Okay, I'll bring you a tin.
That sounds amazing.
I'll bring you a tin. So I was like, a scoop of gigantus.
Yeah.
And poached eggs.
Ah, in your famous...
In my frying pan.
In your frying pan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Someone came up to me the other day and was like, I've listened to that, and that's how I make them.
Who said that to you?
This girl I know called Louisa. Louise. Sorry, Louise is your girlfriend.
I was like, Louisa?
No, Louise.
Imagine if it was
talking to your girlfriend. Yeah.
She's like, that's how we do it.
That's how we do it.
My partner does that.
I was just talking to Sarah about that. No. A girl I know called Louise.
No way.
Yeah, and she was listening to the podcast. She was like, that's how we've always made them in a frying pan.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm a pioneer.
You're a pioneer. It's spreading. Sounds amazing.
Worst birthday I ever had.
What are you going to get for breakfast on your birthday?
I'll tell you. It'll be a surprise. I said, but I don't want to know what you're doing. It's a surprise.
Yeah, yeah,
she was
yeah.
She's like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And she winked and touched her nose. So
yeah.
I think I'm getting fried nose.
Wonderful.
Worst birthday
yeah,
I ever
birthday.
Had.
Worst birthday. Go on.
20th birthday.
Oh, no.
A few days before. I was so going to have a party with Jack, because I think he's still living next door. But it was going to be at his house. And a few days before, I start to feel a bit unwell, a little bit under the weather, just a few swollen glands. My mum's like, oh, your glands are swollen. She's like, maybe we'll go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor near my parents' house, and they're like, yeah, it's just like glandular thing. Woke up the day before my birthday, and my entire face was probably triple the size that it needed to be. And I had mumps.
No!
Classic mumps.
You had mumps?
Good old-fashioned mumps, yeah.
Oh, did you give it to everyone?
No, I didn't give it to... That was the worst thing. Nobody else got it. I don't even know where...
It was so infectious.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. I had to quarantine. It's my first taste of quarantine.
Oh, you were a pro by the time...
Yeah, I knew what I was doing. I was like, oh, baby, I got this.
Please. It's giving me mumps flashbacks.
Yeah, taking me back to the mump days. So I had to quarantine on my 20th birthday. My mum and I were going to go shopping. I think she was going to buy me a couple of bits of clothing and stuff, so we were going to go shopping
gossip
on the day.
About boys.
Yeah, and gossip about boys. And instead she had to go to our local Morrison's, and she bought like 20 little presents, as in like...
And a big plastic sheet.
And I was allowed to open a present every hour to keep... Or half hour to keep me busy.
Oh, my God.
But it was like things ranging from a multi-pack of cereal to like a nice bottle of shampoo.
Oh, shampoo. I thought you were going to go champagne.
No, shampoo.
No, shampoo. Yeah. That is incredibly sad.
It's really sad.
So sad. It's really funny. That's a great story. Should we have a guest?
Let's have a guest.
Our guest today is Red Richardson.
Red Richardson, very good comedian, podcaster himself. He has a podcast called The Year Is with Bobby Mayer.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. He's absolutely fantastic. Very, very nice to have him in.
Yes. Let's bring him in.
Let's go.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Amen. Hi, it's me, Sarah. Thank you so much for listening to Thank Fuck for That. If you're enjoying the podcast, please sign up to our Patreon to support us. We need some help making it. We're doing it all by ourselves. So please sign up, even if it's just £3 a month. That would make the world of difference. Thanks so much. Here's the episode. Red Richardson!
Hello!
Welcome!
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. I think I was a last minute dropout.
No, well, we did not want you.
No, I know. That's how
I want that to be very clear.
Sarah sent me an identical message that I received from Kate Barron 2 weeks ago saying, oh, can you do the podcast today at 3? You know?
You were on my list of people to ask.
Yeah, but then you said, if you can't, we still want you on it.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what Kate Barron did. So I live near
smart,
to the studio.
You know, that's not true.
It's not true. you're on my list of people to ask not to do it.
We have a column and it's like who not to ask and it's just Red Richard.
Yeah, everyone pulled out.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, today's my chance.
Yeah, really.
And
smart.
I'm here. Very available.
Very delighted to have you.
If any other podcasters are listening, Red's available.
I will turn up to almost anything.
Thinking who
you went through anyone. A lot of names.
Yeah. Who will be sat at home waiting for this call?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you also were like, who's local?
Yeah.
That's true.
You're pretty local.
Yeah. Did anyone turn it down?
Yeah. Red.
Yeah, loads
Red.
Of people.
Don't you understand? We've gone through everybody.
Every comedian in London.
Yeah. And then people who aren't comedians.
Mm. Yeah.
People we saw on the street.
Even Russell Brand wasn't free.
We have people based in Australia.
Yeah.
We're like, we'll fly you over.
But I'm here.
Anyway, so delighted to have you.
Thanks for having me on.
This is about life-changing moments. Do you think you dwell on the past?
Yeah, loads. Too much. All the time.
Do you have stuff that haunts you?
So much. Just anything. I cringe about stuff that happened 20 years ago.
I've gotten messages from you.
Yeah.
Cringing.
What, from a night of being drunk?
From a night where I can only describe as one the hardest I've ever laughed. Because you were so funny. You were so funny, Red. Like, me and Patrick still talk about how funny you were that night. Mm. And then you, the next day, were just like, that was awful.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, because there's a fine line. I did a show recently and this producer of the show came up to me and was like, do you remember how we met? Oh, no. Which is why when you said that, I went, ugh.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, but I remembered his face and I remember going, oh no. And he was like, you got me in a headlock and said if you weren't on the next season of my TV show, you were going to kill me. And a bar in Edinburgh at 4 a.m. And I was like, I was trying to be funny. Half an hour before that, I was probably on fire. But there's a point.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I do wake up and go, oh, no.
Did he put you on on the next season of his TV show?
I didn't get my own segment, but I was appearing in bits.
That's pretty good. Because he took the threat seriously.
Yeah. So he gave me a bit, but not, you know. And I did think... I remember thinking, saying to my agent, I can't believe they haven't put me in my own segment. And I thought, why? And then that, I went, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Yeah.
His head under your arm.
But I think I was trying to be funny. And then it
sounds really funny.
Yeah.
The bit you were doing the night I was talking about was you had this bit where you kept on going around saying you were really famous in Devon.
Yeah. Funny story about that. Put a show on in Devon last week. Sold out in 4 hours.
What?
It was a lot of that.
I'm their god.
You're
I was on the I was Devoner of the Month in Country Life, And the guy the month before me was a man who lost his leg in Afghanistan. And I was doing it because I was taking my show up to the Fringe.
Devon,
and my PR got me
it. I think it's just so funny.
Mm.
And it was. I think it's funny now.
Yeah.
If you're in Devon and you're listening to this, get a fucking life.
No, don't. Continue. No,
get a life.
They're good people.
There's
and
so
they know what's right.
Yeah. You don't have to be obliged to obey Devoner of the Month every month.
No.
You're just
there's
jealous
more.
Because you will never be Devoner of the Month.
I'm never going to be Devoner. Especially not now.
You couldn't okay. have.
We not could after have. I've said that.
The guy who went to Afghanistan, with no, he must have felt shortchanged.
No.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't going, be
what
like,
the fuck? This ourselves getting to Edinburgh.
Unless it's comforting for him.
Yeah.
If he's like, let's see how they beat that.
Or he's probably, he goes from the same place as Redrich. You know, that's probably quite good.
Yeah.
Are you from Devon?
No, so I was born in Camberwell and then moved to Devon when I was 10.
They'll take it away.
Oh, yeah. So you've got history with Devon.
Yeah, I'm like the Rachel Dolezel of Devon, you know what I mean?
Do you have to?
Yeah.
Do you have to have lived in Devon to be a Devoner of the Month?
No, it's about your soul, I think.
Okay.
And the spirit, you know?
I feel like, yeah.
Also, my dad's from Devon. He's born there, you know what I mean?
You embody it.
Yeah.
You embody the spirit of Devon.
Yeah.
Devon heritage.
Yeah. Kind. You know, it's like.
I'm trying to poke holes in this.
I'm not.
Devon loves the red.
I've established the criteria. I'm trying to see whether or not I can ever be.
You can.
Devoner of the month.
They wouldn't like you.
You don't
want me. I want Devon in my heart.
Yeah.
I'm not Devon.
Where are you from? You're Midlands, aren't you?
I'm full of Devon.
Nottingham.
I've got Devon coming out my ass.
She's from Nottingham.
Oh, Nottingham.
Nottingham.
You could be. Do they like you there? Is there any pride?
Some of them do, I think.
Yeah.
Some of them do, yeah. There's a big shopping centre in Nottingham and
they love you there.
And they put, like, for some reason, they made like a wall of like famous people from Nottingham.
Mm.
And it's like me and then like Jake Bugg.
Oh, nice. I like him.
Vicky McClure. But I don't think it looks like a wall of famous people. It looks like a wall of boys who've been caught shoplifting.
Yeah. That's so true. Because you all would look like that as well.
You made the wall.
Yeah.
You made the wall.
It looks like it should have a wanted thing on top of it.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a big near miss experience?
Well, this is, there's a load. Like my Edinburgh show last year was about, I was in the false terrorist attack that everyone thought was real on Oxford Street.
What?
Yeah, so I was. Do you remember Ollie Mers, like, tweeted the whole thing?
Yes.
I was there that day.
With Ollie?
I didn't see Ollie. I was actually in the building opposite him, hiding under a desk.
Yeah.
So that
before it happened, you'd seen Ollie Mers and you were hiding under the desk.
Yeah.
Then?
Yeah. And then I heard it was ISIS and I thought, thank God for that. No.
Ollie's over there.
Ollie, get him. But no, he tweeted the whole thing. He, like, made it so much worse.
Yeah.
But I was there for 3 hours and everyone thought it was an attack. And I tried to do an Edinburgh show about it. And just the thing is with Edinburgh is, like, I like doing jokes, but then if I have to do a narrative after 4 times of doing this, I'm so bored.
Yeah.
And I have it with my own stand up. I go, why are we doing this? You know? But especially with a story. Mm. But the thing is that with it is, what's the near miss is, well, I suppose I could have died if it was a terrorist attack.
What actually happened?
What happened is two men had a fight on a tube, and someone saw the fight and said, "He's got a gun," because I think he said, "I'm gonna fucking shoot you," or, you know, whatever the threats you make.
Yeah.
And someone said, "He's got a gun," and that spread and had a domino effect, and then everyone was just like, I'm talking thousands of people. Oxford Street was just like, this woman ran at me, she had blood down her face, and she was just like, "Run!" Because she knocked over in the stampede.
Oh my God.
Everyone went fucking mental, like pushing each other out of the way. People locked shops so you couldn't get in.
Because they all thought that there was one person with a gun.
They thought ISIS was there. And this is 20. Oh,
I guess it's
one,
like,
person from ISIS.
Escalates. So it's like,
could have been loads.
Got a gun. Multiple people have got guns.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Daily Mail was like, a bomb's gone off. So I was on Twitter checking what's
Daily
going
Mail.
On.
Daily Mail.
Yeah. And they were like, bombs going
they
off
were
ISIS.
Helping.
Yeah. So
Red's there, like, I need the truth.
Yeah.
DailyMail.com.
I'm going on Showbiz News.
So you're there on Oxford Street.
There on Oxford Street, yeah, everyone's running about. It was mental, and it's kind of weird. You just see, like, humans, like, especially on the internet, everyone is just so, like, projecting this is who I am person.
Yeah.
when I now know all I'd have to do is shout ISIS and you would push a pregnant woman out the way to save your own skin.
Yeah, it happened. I was at, I guess it was a few years ago, and it was around the time that there were a few incidents happening in London. So there'd been like the London Bridge attack, and then there was like the Westminster car. Somebody drove that car, and there was a big alarm that went off at St Pancras Station as I was going through, and the pandemonium was on. And it was just an alarm within the station. It was like, this is, you need to evacuate kind of thing. And everybody's running in all different directions and like knocking stuff over, abandoning bags. And you're like, this is crazy. You're right. Like, it really shows you the reality of what people will do. Like,
they go fucking
just
mad.
Just save their own skin.
Well, it's people just locking themselves in Costa. And like, I was banging on the window and people were just looking at me like, sucks to be you, buddy. Yeah.
So when you were trying to get in a building somewhere.
Yeah, just trying to get into places.
And they were all locked.
Yeah, people just locking doors.
No way. You were outside. You were on the street.
I was on the street.
Potentially during a terrorist attack.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so it was 2017. So that was the year of like the, I think the Bataclan had just, well, that was 2 years before. But in London that year, we'd had London Bridge, Westminster.
I think it's the same year,
So it was just fucking mad. Everyone went completely mad. Well, I ended up running up a staircase and I talked about this in my show. And there was just this lady who appeared next to me and we were running together and she just refused to like run any further. We got to the third floor and it's like, well, do I stay with this
woman? Were you, where, what building were you
in? It was just like a high rise,
so you got
so
your
office block, so I just ran in. The security guard was behind the desk, lying under the desk. He's like, hey man, this is kind of your job.
This is when you step up.
You've been like tapping your truncheon for 10 years. Yeah. And now you actually, you know, we need you to do something
just
good.
Security guy. You try and get under the desk. He's like, sorry, sir, you're not allowed in here.
But no, it was a sort of near, I don't know, is that a, it was just a very strange moment.
Well, it's
definitely a near miss.
Yeah.
You go through all the psychological processes of like, am I in a terrorist attack? Like, even though you weren't, you experienced something that you believed to be. It's when you, like, you see those videos online where we're like, we're going to do this really high concept prank and we're going to make somebody think the world is ending.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, that's torturous.
It's just mean, isn't
it? It's psychologically so unnecessary, even for a laugh, just to put somebody in that position where they're like, where are my loved ones?
Online people just love to prank, don't they?
Prank shows are always like that.
And I'm up there with the best of them. I do love a prank. I just don't think that's a good one.
Your wife's dead.
Yeah.
No!
Me and Patrick, we pranked Ollie Mears. Remember that?
Miracle. Yeah, you did.
Told him there was ISIS attack.
Yeah. We told him there was an ISIS attack. And honestly, it was in 2017, then it got a bit out of hand.
They staged this fight on a tube. Patrick said, I'm going to fucking shoot you. One thing led to another.
No, we had to do this prank where Patrick had to propose to me and then I had to say no. And it was like, Patrick was like a fan of Ollie Mears. And so he was like, there was this show. And this is real? Yeah.
Oh, really? Both got beef with Ollie Mears.
Ollie Mears came in and thought that he was like part of this proposal. And then I'm just really awkward and I'm like, I don't want to get
married. Oh, that's funny.
Why would you do
that? Has that like come out anywhere?
Yeah, it was just like part of like this big promotional campaign for his album called "Marry Me" because he's getting married or has now married.
And he's had a song.
But he was just really nice and like.
Oh, was he a nice guy?
And it felt just really bad for Patrick. It was just like, I should not be. And he was like, I can leave, but I was supposed to leave in the prank.
Did you see the prank he played on his fiancée during lockdown?
That was part of it. So I was like,
what did he do?
He cut out the bottom of a Pringles tin and put his cock in it. And then he said, hey, do you want some Pringles? And she was like, yeah. And she puts her hand in and it's his cock, which I suppose, you know, they're getting married in the workplace. Probably not a good idea.
I just don't think it's good, is it?
What if that was someone's...
Privately, fine, but like when you put that out there in the world, you
privately,
don't.
Can I be honest? I think that's the funniest.
It is. Imagine if that was
Patrick,
your.
If Patrick did that, I would not never stop laughing.
Yeah,
that
it's funny.
That is so funny.
But like if Patrick filmed it and put it online, he wouldn't look like the good guy.
No.
No, don't put it online. But I think there's something so funny about. But you.
Imagine if you were like a serial offender of that, like in the workplace, though. And that'd be very wrong.
Yeah.
But when, like, if over 100 people. Came out and said he asked me for a Pringle, you would go, that's funny, but you know, you're bad. But 100 women talking about
during the
I toned up
during the induction. They're like, okay, so the kitchen's over there. Yeah. This is your desk, and if John offers you a Pringle, say no.
He's like, I thought because they were salt and vinegar, it'd be different this time.
Nobody would put their cock in it so low.
Yeah.
Do you want to bring us like put it? Why is it so low?
He's got the biggest.
Hold it up.
Nobody would put their cock in a salt and vinegar tube.
Yeah.
The police raid his office and they find 100 cutout Pringle tins.
Because he never reuses.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be disgusting.
No. That would be disgusting. I have some respect for the women.
I mean, the court case would be good, and there would be a six-parter about it.
Yeah.
He turned CCTV
of him buying all the Pringles on the shelf.
He offered me a beer because he knew it'd make me.
He's first, he has to get rid of all the Pringles, so he actually offers it to all the men, yeah, like genuinely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He always strikes just before lunch when he knows you'll be hungry.
Yeah. Oh, John, the guy who always has Pringles? Yeah. He did what?
Yeah, all the guys are like, that's fine. He always has Pringles. The women are like, there's no Pringles when we go in.
Yeah. I do like the thought of Ollie Murs cutting out the thing and just so happy with himself, you know, because there would have been a good 20 minutes of sheer joy from him.
Yeah, when you eat the Pringles.
Yeah, before
but you get to eat the Pringles before, like, you do your prank.
What do you do if you go to all that trouble, you put your dick in the can of Pringles,
mm-hmm.
and you go, hey, do you want a Pringle? And she goes, no, thank you.
No. Well, then you're just there with, you've wasted, I'm assuming he has to, because he probably doesn't eat that much because he's got to stay thin.
He then has to pretend he's eating.
Yeah, just sit there. And just with his cock in a thing. Yeah, because he's probably thrown away all the Pringles. I doubt he eats crisps. So it's a huge waste.
It is a huge waste.
I hope he eats crisps.
There was,
I doubt he eats crisps.
Back to Ollie Murs, he's got to keep the face.
You're very slim. Do you eat crisps?
She had oats for breakfast. No, you had oats. Yeah.
Mm. No, yeah. I had bran. Oh, I want to get that shit going.
Yeah, yeah.
I had bran and I don't want to talk about it.
Have you ever had like a sort of sliding doors moment where you like had a moment where you're like, wow, my life could have been completely different?
Yeah, I did two auditions for Harry Potter when I was a boy. So I did one, and then I got called back and was in one-on-one with Christopher Columbus, who was the director, not the guy who discovered
America. For the role of Harry Potter.
What's that?
For the role of Harry Potter.
For the role of Harry Potter, yeah. So at the time, they were like going into schools, they were street casting, and I got street cast by this lady who said, do you want to come in and audition? I was a huge fan. I'm like, yeah, definitely. I wasn't like an acting kid.
You'd read the book.
Yeah, yeah, I was obsessed with it. But I wasn't like an acting kid. And then I did an audition.
What does it mean to be street cast?
It's like, so they just send people out, and any kid with black hair or brown hair would basically, they, you know what I mean?
So literally off the street?
Yeah, yeah. But there's like, you know, they went into schools and everything. Yeah, yeah, there's I think like probably 50,000 people auditioned.
Yeah. I know that one of the actors who played Victor Crumb, I think, was cast at school.
Loads. Rob Pattinson.
I think he was late for a lesson and someone saw him running.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, he can run.
If he can run, he can probably fly.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, they don't fly. They got broomsticks. You idiot. Sorry, Mickey. But they, Jesse Cave, I think, was cast at school or at university.
Amazing.
Will have been at school shortly.
Maybe.
Well, she was one of the... She got into the fifth movie. Sixth movie.
Oh, I guess she could have been 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did that, and I did the auditions, and then it was one-on-one.
How old were you?
10? 9?
Yeah.
So
and
that
then
could
you
have
had
been...
a sit-down with Christopher Columbus.
I had
a
sit-down.
You got really far.
But, there was a few of us left, and Daniel Radcliffe obviously got the role, and here I am.
Do you think you would have wanted to do it? Like,
yeah.
Could you, if you could go back and like change that?
100%.
Would you be, I mean.
Yeah, because then I'd just be, what's he worth? 100 million?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
I'd live in a castle.
In Devon.
In Devon. Mm. I'd be even more popular.
They'd fucking love you in Devon.
Possible.
Yeah.
you would make the wall.
Someone from Devon listens to this and go, I've never heard of this guy. He's a dick.
Doesn't matter.
But yeah, I would have.
He's the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. And I don't think I would have lasted all the movies because I don't like it when a child star just sort of comes out unscathed. I think he's wasted what he has, Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, you would have...
Yeah, it's like there would have been divorces, rehab.
You'd had a bit as a child with it.
Yeah, 15, you know.
15, divorce, rehab.
Divorce, rehab, you know. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They would have now, they would have given you permission like, to get married.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the tabloids have really struggled with stuff over the, this
over him.
15-year period since you were a child.
Yeah, I'd be like getting hammered and running down the street going, I'm the boy that lived. I can do what the fuck I want.
So you, you wanted to basically live the life of like, you know, the first Dumbledore?
Yeah.
Had Richard Harris. Right?
He died, didn't he?
He died. That's why he was the first.
Yeah. I didn't want to die.
No, you didn't want to die, but he lived that kind of crazy rock and roll life.
Did he?
He was apparently like just him and Peter O'Toole were just these crazy, like always drunk actors.
Oliver Reed.
Who were just... I'm picturing him as old as he was in Harry Potter.
Yes, with the wig.
Like, absolutely wasted. Surrounded by
all
prostitutes.
Those stories and then like we drank 20 pints.
Yes.
That... And everyone got their cock out.
And they were all, and they were always just like beating up like the like each other in the pubs. Just like a real, you know, the old old school
back when being
actor.
Famous was fun.
Yeah,
they used to. Yeah, that was the thing.
For a man,
I loved it.
It was great.
I love that. That's your takeaway, which is basically, you know, I could have had this incredible experience. It would have been like magical to work on those sets as a child. Like I would be a successful actor now. I would have made a lot of money. I'd be very famous. And you're like, I could have given the press a fucking scandal a week.
The what's the kid in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory who kills himself by drinking too much of the chocolate milk?
Yes.
Would have been me, Gloop.
Augustus Gloop.
Yeah, I'd be fired after three. Probably would have had like a rap career that would be widely mocked.
This feels like more of a near miss for the acting.
For
the world.
For the world.
For the people who cast Harry Potter.
Would have been more fun. Turns out, apparently Jack Whitehall was cast as well, or like auditioned. So not even the most successful guy who didn't get the part.
But also, Daniel Radcliffe, wasn't his dad one of the main producers?
No.
He was mates with somebody, wasn't he? Though?
He was in Daniel Bedingfield or whatever. David Copperfield. Daniel Bedingfield. Who's Daniel Bedingfield again?
There is a Radcliffe in the credits.
No, but that might. But I think
Paula? Was it Paula?
I think the parents took on like a. Because they were agents.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they weren't involved, but they were agents. And Judy Dench had just done Copperfield with him and said, this kid's great.
This kid's great.
Yeah. But he wasn't great.
He was.
I would have brought an underlying sort of.
You would have brought a darkness.
Yeah.
Sexual tension.
I'd be like, this kid's 13, so you know what I mean?
He's constantly wanking in the common room.
He's wanking all the time, and he's erect.
With the Pringles can or whatever they're like.
Yeah.
Whatever the magical equivalent is.
Magical cock
Pringles.
Yeah, Hermione, you just have to put your hand in here and it'll destroy Voldemort forever. Ah, it's my cock again.
You witches want a Prongle? She has to write in that Harry's got a mustache.
Because
he couldn't shave it off.
Yeah.
But just me sort of running down hotel corridors saying, touch my wand. You know, that would have been all that fun.
Mm-hmm.
But we
all
didn't
that
have it.
Fun.
Daniel Radcliffe has lived a straight life.
We could have had him on the pod in this alternative universe.
That's a near miss for us.
But what near misses he had? He'd be like, I nearly bought a jet but didn't.
He would have been a great stand-up.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
In this, if you swap lives, I think he would have had a
Yeah, maybe.
We would have had him on before Ed Knight.
He's probably a good guy. 100%. Yeah, I'm sure you would have loved to have him on. You'd love him now. It would
he
do
sounds like he's like the nicest man.
Yeah.
That's the sort of.
I like the Ron Weasley one because he's gone, look, let's face it, I can't act and I'm going to fuck off with my money. Whereas Daniel Radcliffe's like doing like interesting roles and it's like.
He can do whatever he wants, can't he?
Yeah.
I love that he's
and
like gone
like
quiet
for
a while.
No, I don't like that. I wanted him to do a bit more. You know,
you want him
you
to
think
be
he
stuck.
Squandered his.
Yeah, I think he should have a podcast and in his garden, like have a studio, and he goes like really right wing or something. You know.
Yeah. That's what you would have done.
And be like, you could never make Harry Potter these days. You know, just saying stuff like that.
That's the name of the podcast. Well,
but he's really bitter, even though he's got £100 million. That would be fun. Telling it how it is.
But
that's a sliding doors moment.
That's a great sliding
doors moment.
Don't
know what else the other guests have given you, but you know.
That's a huge one.
That's a huge one. And also, I think it's really funny because we had one of our four guests that were before you, Anya.
Warm-up guests.
Warm-up guests to Red.
Mm-hmm.
Anya had the same one But the funny thing about hers was that she's like, and you're not going to guess why, what the wrong thing about this story is or whatever. But she says, I could have been in Harry Potter because her dad said that he forgot to like drive her to the audition. And so she grew
up
her whole life.
He was going to take her for
an audition. Take her. So she grew up her whole life being like, if only he'd taken me to the audition. But then the thing is that Anya would have been 2 at the time. So
and who was she who played?
No one.
Yeah.
The thing is, just a whole lie.
It was just a massive lie. But she grew up her whole life thinking this and then said this to someone at some point and was like, you are way too young for that.
And also going to the audition, it's not like they go, oh, no one's turned up today, so we just
The hard part about being like the age that we are and watching the Harry Potter films was that like every single film they employed like fucking like hundreds of kids, and you'd go and sit there and be like, how have they got that many kids in this and it's still not me?
Right.
Yeah.
Like so many children have been brought into it.
I've never thought of it like that. That's even worse.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have to because you knew it wasn't me because they didn't pick you.
You meet
people even now at the age of 30 and they're like, oh yeah, I was an extra in Harry Potter. And you're like, fucking hell.
Yeah. See, that was great for me because I was in another country. So that wasn't like a thing that I ever had to worry about. It was like, I would have never been in this.
Was there a Danish version?
No.
Not Danish, Dutch. Jesus Christ.
But I can answer that as well. Yeah. There also wasn't a Danish version. Okay. I tend to just like
what about
not
Swedish?
Even... what people about get Swedish? Danish and Dutch confused so often that I don't even respond anymore when I'm just like, yeah, I know what you mean. neither Dutch nor Danish. We all just watched the same one as you guys did.
Okay.
Did you watch it in English or did you watch
No, they dubbed? Did have a dubbed version. I watched it in English, yeah. But yeah. they have a dubbed. They have all the children's.
Was it called something different? Because you know how some places change the.
Yeah, titles. Yeah.
What was it called?
Harry Potter and the Stein der Weisen.
Okay, because the start of that sentence, I was like, that's the same.
Yeah, Harry Potter and the Stein der Weisen.
Stein der Weisen, yeah. That was the first one.
And what's that?
The Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah. Okay, does it directly
because
translate?
Because the Philosopher's Stone is a real thing from like culture. So. We have a Dutch.
Excuse
brand.
Me.
You've got a Philosopher's Stone.
It's like the Golden Fleece, or you know, all of those kind of like ancient.
Okay, because they changed it to Sorcerer's Stone for US, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, why is that?
They don't want kids to know about philosophy. Yeah, they don't want them to learn to think for themselves. So they're like,
it's
if they find
real.
Out about philosophy, yeah. We're fucked.
It's made up. It's all made up.
It's made up. They're witches. They're sorcerers. Don't even worry about
it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's because he says, oh, I didn't. I think because like being that famous, he obviously didn't get to be a teenager, and I think that's like what. But I don't.
In a very genuine way, I think he had like a big problem with alcoholism. So I don't think.
Yeah, but he had like 5 cans once or something. Do you know what I mean? It's not.
Brad's like,
you call that a problem?
I'm okay.
Yeah, but he. But being a teenager is shit.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah, me too.
Being that's in your true. 20s is shit.
Right.
Being in your 30s, nearly were. You know what I mean? No, I'm kidding. But like, he is, I don't know what people think they're missing out on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I remember being 15 and just being stood outside a pub with my mates going, one day we're going to get in that pub and we're going to shag everyone inside it. And all the girls my age could get into pubs at that age. And they were all dating people who were like, 20,
yeah,
and I would be like, one day I'm gonna be 25 and have my own scooter, and it's just like, it's crap,
yeah, it is crap.
See, I would be Harry Potter, I'd be like,
they'd have let you in the pub.
Also, met your partner so quickly.
What do you mean?
What, how old were you when you met Rosie?
I was born, I was
born
a baby,
knowing her,
so she was 3, and I was,
but yeah. How old were you when you got together?
2013, yeah. So 10 years ago, I was 24.
Yeah, see, so even that's like quite early to get together.
How do you know each other then?
Because our dads were best mates.
Right.
So we've known each other since we were kids. So she groomed me because she's 3 years older.
Yeah.
She's a lot older than me.
Do you think she came up with that plan like when she was 3?
Probably.
Yeah.
I was very
when she saw you at 13.
Child. Yeah, no.
At 15, standing outside the pub, she was like, one day.
Yeah. 6 months.
You don't got to go in that pub to shag everybody, baby. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you so much.
It's great to
Thanks
have you.
For having me on.
Can you tell people where to find you if they're looking for you?
Social media, Red Richardson Comedy.
Thank you.
What?
Thank you.
Is that it?
That's okay. Unless you have anything to plug.
My special, the Red Ritson special, out on YouTube for free. Google it if... that's
you
it.
Dare.
If you want to.
Thanks, Red.
Thank you, Red.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
Bye.
That was Red Richardson.
Red Richardson.
So funny.
Very funny.
So funny.
Very funny boy. Thank you so much for listening, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
We are putting additional content on our Patreon, so please sign up. We are asking our guests from now on, starting with Red, we're asking them to tell a story that makes them look back and cringe. And he told an excellent story that was very, very funny. So head to Patreon where you can watch and listen to that now.
Now. Come to our shows. Our whips are coming up.
They're coming up.
Our back-to-back whips.
Our 16th and 17th of April whips that we had to book to accidentally.
If you can't come to the 16th, how about the 17th?
Yeah. It'd be great to have you there because we'll be sick of each other by that point.
Oh my God. I'll be like, I just heard this.
16th is at 2 North Down in King's Cross and 17th is at the Bill Murray and Angel.
Yeah.
Both in London. Sorry, non-London people.
Sorry, non-London people. But I think we're both probably doing, separately we're doing shows maybe.
Further out. Further out. And also if you want us to go international, then sign up to our Patreon so we can afford the flights.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my Edinburgh show has gone on sale.
Ooh.
So if you're going to Edinburgh at all.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, guys.
We love you all.
We love you so much.
We really do. And thanks for engaging with us on social media.
That's been so amazing.
It's really, really nice. We're glad that you're liking the videos. We're loving them too.
Yes.
Because we forget how funny we are.
Yeah, and how funny our guests were.
Yeah.
Like,
what a good booking.
Look at that guy. So thank you so much, and you'll hear us next time.
Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck for That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth. It was produced by Lucas Jeffcoat with music from Ben Cavanaugh.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.